Welcome again to Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates us to move. Each week, I'm talking to successful people who have ditched their 9-to-5 to pursue their own particular brand of happiness, or even to folks who have dropped the status quo altogether and decided to be their own bosses. Consider this your Monday motivation, your weekly invitation to find what makes you move, what your passion is, and figure out how to work it out. Right? It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all right. Okay. So today's guest I have on the show, my good friend for like the last 11 years.
Like 51.
51 years. Paul Hudson, who was the founding city leader of SOFAR, which is an acronym that stands for Songs from a Room. And I brought Paul on today to talk about Black music, since this is the last Monday in Black History Month, which I've deemed for the culture month, right? So we did this thing, two weekends ago. We got all our friends together, you know, our peoples together to watch. Black Panther, the premiere of Black Panther. We hosted a private screening. Y'all probably read about it. Markeisha did a beautiful piece about it. And we hosted a private screening at Criterion Theaters, and it was a show out event. And so I invited Paul on today. That's if y'all see a hand, like a random tan hand in the screen.
Tan.
That's Harry. Thanks for setting us up.
That sounds like a Marvel antagonist.
Exactly. The tan hand.
It's like Black Panther 3, Return of the Tan Hand.
Right. Which is, you know, shouldn't be confused with the Iron Fist, which is an awful Marvel character. But yeah, it's for the Culture Month. And so I invited Paul on to talk a little bit about what he does for work, and also for us to talk a bit about Black music and to review in ways the Black Panther soundtrack. So before we jump in, just Paul, tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what they should know about you.
So I'm a local musician. For the last 2 years or so, I've been a full-time musician, which was a huge step for me.
What does that mean, full-time musician? I know that
you
that's
know
like-
what it's I guess it means something different for each person. It also means something different every day. Like, what it means is that I'm committed to relying on music to take care of me. And yeah. I mean, and I guess, you know, the more I do it, the more open-ended it becomes. So, I mean, initially it was like, all right, I'm just going to like try to make music and like pray people will like.
And know, pray. I'm going to make music and pray.
Rub
my two nickels together.
Right. Rub them together. Try to make a quarter.
Exactly. Like,
but over time it's evolved into, I guess, a little more than that. And I kind of just dabbled in a few different things. So initially I was doing like some like movie TV work. So like, the most unglamorous kind of like movie TV work. So like scene transition music and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah. Just for like, you know, for like small bucks, nothing, like I said, nothing glamorous.
Oh, okay.
But that was cool. Then I was like, all right, well, I mean, that's not gonna take care of us, so let's try to do something a little bigger, a little broader. So that's when I decided to look at deeper into SOFAR as another means of income and also another outlet.
So you said look deeper into SOFAR. How did you get introduced to it?
So SOFAR Sounds, they have a huge online presence. I mean, they're comparable to like a Tiny Desk or to a Mahogany Sessions, where they capitalize on you know, like high quality produced live videos.
Mm-hmm.
So their YouTube channel's popping. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, their social media's popping. So I always, you know, watched SOFAR Sounds videos. In my own leisure, in my own time,
because
musicians don't watch TV.
We watch. Yeah,
right. Yeah, we don't watch TV. But so that's how I was introduced to it. But when I went to London a couple years ago, and just on a whim, man, I decided to apply for a SOFAR London show. It was in Deptford, and I got in. So I was like, oh shoot, all right, I'll go check this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the show. It was It was a really dope space. It took place in what I would, you know, what we would call like a bodega or a corner store, but it was renovated and turned into a home, which was, which was dope.
Mm-hmm.
And I really dug the vibe and the individual who was hosting. It was just really accommodating, just real friendly. And I was like, all right, this is probably the best way to consume live music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you had to kind of like, you know.
If you had to choose
mm-hmm. the ways in which you want to consume
if music. If you had to choose, like, between Toads or BB King's or a So Far Show.
Like, I mean, personally, I would just choose to consume dope music in someone's living room.
Right, with
50 like-minded individuals,
mm-hmm.
you know. On Oriental rugs and like,
yeah, exactly. like
craft beer and stuff, the bougiest of ways. But but so I thought that was cool. And I took that experience home and sat with it and I don't know, maybe I don't know, I guess it was probably 6 months later or so. I had been hosting shows at my house for my own, you know, for my mm-hmm. own, sharing my own music with my friends at the house, and I was just like, oh, what if I just kind of pitched the So Far chapter here,
mm-hmm.
see how far it would go. Didn't think much of it. Got a super warm response from the global team, and got the go ahead, man. So like that was
nice.
You know, and it just kind of grew from there.
And so you have like a little team working with you here too.
Squad, man.
Yeah,
it's a squad, because they're like, they're dope, man. So yeah, so we have a team of photographers and videographers. Who document the shows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all dope local artists.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I think there's 7 of us all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing where we try to contain it. You know what I mean? We want everyone to be involved, but the team we have is so dope, man. They really make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, they're all local New Haven, predominantly people of color.
That's dope.
We're just doing cool stuff.
So 2 years ago, you decided to be a full-time musician, rubbing 2 nickels together to make a quarter.
Rub them together, yo.
And how's logistically, because this is what the show is about, right? People kind of like ditching the status quo to do their own thing. Right. Logistically, how's that working out?
I think for the most part, it's working out. It's working out well. I guess I didn't do it to get rich. So
yeah, like, I guess, you know.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, had I, you know.
You can only measure success.
Absolutely.
Why would your intention wasn't
right? Right. I wasn't chasing the bag. That's for sure. But
so and because you weren't chasing the bag, you made it.
I made it, yo. Yo, I didn't just make it. I'm thriving.
That's hilarious.
I was chasing happiness, man. Just trying to cope with you know, the day to day, you know, the day to day trauma of having to interact with structured, systemic oppression. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like within the workplace. And my response was to ditch it. There's probably a philosopher or a career creative entrepreneur who would kind of shake their head at the way I went about it. But like, truthfully, I mean, it was really the only way I knew how.
I think, in that time. I mean, especially since, you were a banker.
Yo, yeah. A whole
like, I forget about that. You were a banker giving people mortgages.
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
And then, I mean, right, like, I don't really come from a corporate background. I come from, like, a nonprofit background.
Right,
I come from, like, a public background at best.
Right.
And so the there's almost no comparison from, from banking to nonprofit work.
I mean, opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and opposite ends of like of the emotional spectrum as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
in some cases.
Yeah.
I may or
yeah.
may not have worked at a couple. We got y'all's.
Right. We definitely.
May or may not. I'm not like, making a.
Well, as far as you got y'all's are concerned, like
right.
yeah, they probably land pretty close to bank. But I was referring to like just creative work
and, mm-hmm.
And like banking or for profit or finance even. I don't know. I shut myself off every morning.
Yeah.
Turn myself on at 5.
Oh, nice.
When I left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounds simple, but I mean, it's a painful experience.
It's losing yourself in that 8-hour time period.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you think about everything you've accomplished in that day, you think about all the energy you've expelled and like and all the stuff you put up with.
And how you're emotionally drained by 5:05.
Absolutely. And then at the end of that day, it's like, all right, man, I have all these cool ideas. I have zero energy. And I'm just going to drink a beer and go to bed instead.
Right, you know right. I mean? And so, I mean, it makes sense that, like, to come from, especially since you're a New Haven native. Right. I remember in high school, I went to, like, you know, the academic high school. You went to the, like, colorful high school with all the arts
colorful
kids.
Colorful is a good word for it. Colorful is a real good
with
word.
With all the artsy
translation,
kids.
Y'all were cool. Exactly. You were just like, you were just a strange. Like,
basically, y'all were the kids that got all your shoes from Finish Line and Foot Locker. We were the kids that got all our shoes from Stephen Berry's.
You know what? Right. Right. Exactly. Just like that.
So you were about this art, like, this artist life. From high school, from before that, you went to Betsy Ross, right?
No, I lied about that just now.
So yeah, I made it up all together.
What's that about?
I don't know. That was crazy.
Who's Betsy Ross? What is this Betsy Ross?
Who is these?
Betsy? I went to like a few different middle schools. I did some hopping around. I went to private school for 2 years, and then I went to Wintergreen 8th grade. Yeah, I know, right? It's news. Nobody knows.
Breaking news. And then there was the Helene Grant.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. The mighty Helene Grant, man, which was honestly, that's where stars were born, man.
Yeah.
Like Helen Grant was everything.
And then people from Helen Grant went over to Co-op.
Co-op, yeah. A lot of them.
It was a little pipeline.
Yeah, for sure.
And people at Co-op are doing big things.
Doing cool stuff.
Broadway and like it's crazy. Yeah, sure. Berkeley and
and beyond even.
Exactly.
So yeah. Co-op was a breeding ground for talent, man. And I always attribute back to that music program that was just like so hands on, man.
Yeah.
Just like and Mr. Smith and Mr. Salford specifically were just like so intentional about protecting our artistry and just kind of like launching us, man, into the world in a way that was effective and intentional. Like they lived, breathed us for, you know, for those 4 years. And,
yeah.
Like, made sure that we had all the tools we needed to thrive creatively.
Yeah.
So.
And so speaking of thrive creatively, right now we're here at a point in history, right? Or like every Black History Month for like the last 3 years has been pretty popping. It's been pretty lit. Starting with, you know, the Beyonce's Super Bowl, right? Like, and then last year, Solange dropped her joint during Black History Month.
Was that last year?
I think that was last year.
Yeah.
We've only been sitting on that for like.
That's crazy.
Only a year.
How
yeah.
How is it such a deep part of my existence. It's only been around
for a year. you remember growing up saying,
I grew up singing Don't Touch My Hair. Like,
exactly. Like, 99? Right, exactly. Like, remember back in 99 when Solange was, Solange wasn't doing nothing in 99.
Crazy,
and now, exactly. And now is this Black History Month, and Black Panther came out with, you know, a couple pretty cool pieces on the album. So before we go, I want to review a couple of pieces from the album, and then also just review a couple key Black songs just for the culture in general.
Right.
So before we get into that, tell me what your general, you know, sentiment about the album was. Did you dig it?
Dig it is a, I don't know. So check it out. I'm not gonna Joe Budden this joint, yo. I'm gonna tell y'all for real. Like I have one less Billboard charting single than Joe Budden, okay? Which is zero. Okay.
But if you do that math real quick,
if you do the math, yeah. Carried one, it's like, oh, okay, zero.
It's zero.
So I'm gonna act like that and not bash this album. But and also I'm gonna say that To Pimp a Butterfly was written, recorded specifically for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the most important body of music in my adult life.
Artistry.
So far. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or artistry, yeah, mm-hmm. of my adult life so far. So when I think Kendrick, I think TPAB, I think Thundercat, Terrace mm-hmm. Martin, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's kind of unfair. It's unfair to the music for me to have that to compare it to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when Kendrick's last album, When Damn came out, and when Black Panther came out, it kind of left a lot to be desired for me personally. Just because
To Pimp a Butterfly had a really high watermark.
Yeah.
A really high watermark.
But you know what? Speaking of that high watermark, it went clean over a lot of people's heads too.
Yeah, it did.
Which Kendrick was, you know, he was conscious of that. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, mm-hmm. I can't do that every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's make music for the people this time.
Exactly. So
let's make music for the people, not just Paul.
Right, not just Paul specifically, not just Paul and his friends, but
right.
Paul Mercy and them.
And them, right.
But like, so what I'll say about Black Panther is that I think I think they did a really good job at infusing Oakland or the idea of Oakland
into the music. I feel like Oakland was definitely all over that album.
Yeah, it was all over that album.
It definitely had that feel.
Yeah, just, I mean, it was L.A. through and through. Mm-hmm. And also, they did a really good job at connecting the dots between, I guess, the African foundation of the movie and the African American experience.
Yeah.
As well. So, I mean, it was dope. It was a dope album.
I'm going to play a clip from X. Just a real clip. It's going to be a choppy, it's going to be a kind of choppy cut and screw real
chop,
quick.
Chop.
Yeah. But, I'm going to play a quick 15 seconds
DJ
and let
Mercy,
me know
Mercy,
on
Mercy.
The tracks. Let me know. I want to hear what your thought is. Do you want to start with King's Dead or X? Okay. Let's start with King's Dead. Tell me about what we're about to listen to. What is this King's Dead story about?
So here's the thing about this album. So they reference Killmonger.
Mm-hmm.
But the song itself is really just about a confident black man who's really just here to make his claim.
Mm-hmm.
Like overall, like it doesn't really say much about the movie specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of the movie, King's Dead is like Killmonger's soundtrack, yo.
Okay, here we go. So that's the song. That's a little snippet. And tell me what you think about that song. What's that song about?
So, I mean, I think it's less about what the song is about and like who it's for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like within the context of the movie, let's be like really intentional about calling out the little, you know, the Easter eggs within the song,
mm-hmm.
that are Killmonger's African Americanism, right?
Yeah.
That are Killmonger's just black manness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And black American manness.
Black American manness, mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. But also let's be cognizant of the nods to trap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To contemporary African American culture outside of the movie altogether. And also let's be cognizant of his references to radio hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like
is a very different thing.
Which is way different, you mm-hmm. know. And I'm like, again, as a musician, I guess I identify as a jazz head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm a singer songwriter. So like a lot of times these things they don't hit me in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
So like last night I had to kind of go back and like give it an actual listen as opposed to the drive home listens I've been giving.
Yeah, no, I hear. I mean, okay. Like, so Black, this entire album has sort of been on repeat for me, especially 10, which I'm going to play in a second. But it's sort of, and I want to say reminiscent, but I can't say reminiscent because it's happening right now. It just, it just reminds me of the current moment to be a black person in America, right? Which is like this simultaneous, like horrifyingly dope.
Horrifyingly dope.
It's
scary, but it's lit. And I'm scared, but I'm lit.
I'm so scared, but I'm also having a really good time.
We went to like a black brunch last week and it was lit.
Exactly. But
I got
also
tailed by a cop on the way home. So that was
exactly
lit.
That kind of duality in that experience. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I'm gonna put up 10. Well, it's called 10, the representation of 10 being X in Roman numerals. I'm gonna play that real quick. Are you on 10 yet? Are you on 10 yet? So that's my favorite song of this thing.
Word.
And like this is my writing music. This is the song that like I put on. I'm like, are you on 10 yet? Are you on? And if I'm gonna be pulled over, that'll be the moment I'm gonna be pulled over because I am on 10.
Right.
And it's like it's as much of a lyric as it is like a rallying call.
Absolutely.
A declaration.
Absolutely.
Right, like
absolutely.
That's how I feel about this song.
Yeah,
what's your
yeah.
take?
So I mean I think so to be on 10, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I would describe me leaving the theater as me just being like just being on 10.
Yeah.
And also probably almost like a mantra to like to joy, yo. Mm-hmm. To black joy specifically. Mm-hmm. Yo, and just being able to just be in your culture, being your safe space, and to be lit.
Yeah.
Also, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unapologetically.
Right. And for the listeners who are a little bit less adept to hip hop music, on 10, or not even just hip hop music, but like black
culture.
Culture. On 10 is like all the way turned up.
Right. on 10 is also like you're doing a lot.
You're doing a lot. It was like, okay, you're on 10, calm down. But then in this context, it's kind of just like a rallying call. Are you on 10 yet? Like, get there.
Absolutely.
And so I think all throughout this album, Kendrick does a really good job at like conveying really black, just like normative like motifs throughout, just like sewing that into the fabric of the music, because that was the purpose of Black Panther.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also kind of cool the way Ryan kind of tied all this like all these cultural nuances into a place that's like specifically not Black American. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of times, I don't know, I forget what scene, because we gotta go see the movie again.
Definitely. Yeah, sure. Gotta see it at least three times.
Yeah, at least three times.
Yeah, I'm on two. You're, all right. What are you on?
I'm
one?
On one, man.
Yeah. Are you on 10 yet?
I've been on 10, first of all.
I'm on one, but I've been on 10.
But what's kind of cool about this music is that a lot of times they cut to this music when they're doing like flyovers of the terrain.
Yeah,
Wakanda.
I think one of the specific times that I recall this is Killmonger has just been named king, right?
Yes,
they have all of the futuristic planes flying over, into the station, and then suddenly it's this transition from what feels like traditional African sounds to trap music.
Trap.
Right? Like it's this very like, notable moment in the where they make this very clear transition from African sounds to trap music.
Word.
And it was dope. It was dope. But I also, while we were talking about what we could do for this conversation as the last episode in the Forward of the Culture series for Black History Month, I also wanted you to kind of talk about some songs that are just, reminiscent for Black, for the culture, right, that may not have been connected to Black Panther's album, but also might be connected to Black Panther's album.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to start with? Tell me which one you want to start with.
I like, let's start with What a Wonderful World.
Okay, here we go. And this will be familiar, right? This is not going to be lost on anyone. This is obvious.
I hope it's not lost
on anyone. I will question my following if this is lost on anyone.
We'll talk about it later.
Right. We can talk about it. I'm so very sorry. Here we go.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you.
Okay, so I love this song because, right, like this, I feel like I could sound like Louis Armstrong if I truly wanted to.
You know what? I'd love to hear that.
You put me on the spot. I'm not going to respond.
Like, I'm not really bad.
I see trees of green.
Wow.
Red roses too.
Word. That's actually really impressive.
I'm happy that you enjoyed
that.
You
should take that on a roll, yo.
Sign me up for the next So Far event.
Yo, actually, maybe not for So Far, okay. But,
but
I'm going to email you. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
I'm going to chirp you.
Yeah, I'm going to chirp you. Yeah, just...
Listen, if you're just tuning in, this is Work It Out, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates you to move. If you're tuning in, you can hear us live at 103.5 FM WNHH Radio and streaming live on newhavenindependent.org and on the New Haven Independent Facebook. We just listened to a snippet of the Louis Armstrong What a Wonderful World lyrics. And Paul, tell me why this is like a quintessential song for the Black experience.
So I don't know that it's quintessential for the Black experience, mm-hmm. but I just thought I think it's interesting that to date it's Louis Armstrong's biggest hit. Right. And it's so funny to me because even when I was a kid and didn't really have the language to wrap my head around it, my great grandmother who was a pianist,
mm-hmm.
she this is one of the songs that she would pull out of her book to just kind of play through. Mm-hmm. And I'd read the lyrics along. I never really sang it with her. But as a black man in the early 20th century, the things that Louis Armstrong is singing about are so fundamental, right?
Yeah.
And in that time, this is his own version of, I don't know, of extreme optimism or like radical reimagination. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So like, trees are green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. It's like, all right, this in itself is probably not something I haven't experienced this week, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I see babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll know much more than I ever know. Like, this is something that I'm almost promised, you know, in life right now. Mm-hmm. And this is something that he clinged to as a beautiful idea. So much so that he felt the need to like sing it from the rooftops.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the legacy of this is even seen in more contemporary songs like "Because I'm Happy, Clap Along."
Yeah, like, dude.
I mean, you could see the imprint on
absolutely
on even contemporary music.
Definitely.
So the next one I'm gonna play, we're gonna just go straight to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, this is litty.
This is the live version.
Oh, it's the best one.
Yeah. Okay, so for copyright reasons, I'm gonna go ahead and turn this down.
I mean, that's cool, whatever.
So, I mean, we'll play it in the background and people can kind of listen to it. Tell us what this song is about.
So, this song is about I can only imagine it to be about a world like Wakanda. So it kind of talks about some sort of creative or personal utopia. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And verse after verse, lyric after lyric, it's really only about this dreamy place. Mm-hmm. And as an artist, I mean, I can look at it from a few different perspectives. A place of creative freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where we're all in our own, you know, functioning within our own truths, mm-hmm, and within our own realities, mm-hmm, and doing so in a way that's free without oppression or hindrance. But also, man, it's kind of hard to look at a group like Earth, Wind, and Fire and for them and to think they didn't write that with the social climate in mind, a political climate in mind.
Right.
Yo. And just like, yo, one day, I forget what year the song was released, set in like 70s.
Well, here on YouTube, it says 2013.
Oh, okay, 2013. Give or take.
It was the...
Give or take, like, 30 years.
It was the reunion tour.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. That was big. That was big right there.
It was
big,
really.
Nah, but it's kind of hard to imagine them not writing the song with the then super, super relevant, super tangible civil rights movement. Like in swing and also come into a transitional state.
Yeah.
Without that in mind, I'm positive they had that in mind. So to think that song could be vibrating even now and kind of move me this way now, it's kind of beautiful and dope.
Do you see any sort of like stamp on sort of like Earth, Wind, and Fire stamp on Black Panther's album whatsoever?
No, I don't actually.
I kind of wish that I did.
Yeah,
because I feel like if you're gonna shout out, I mean, right? Every movie does not have to do everything, but soundtrack does not have to do everything. But
right.
I just feel like if you're gonna shout out like these like you know, sort of homegrown like you know, black artists that are household names, it feels like just a quick little imprint to that. That would have been a cool thing to see, even though I recognize that, you know, it's not a necessary thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ryan Coogler, you listening, bro? But, nah.
No, hey, think, call in if you listening.
Yeah, call in. Just call me right now.
Kick me right now.
Shoot me. Pigeon in the air, you know, letter in the mail, bro. But no, I think this is something that he specifically is probably conscious of. And also Kendrick is notorious, yo, for channeling those energies, man. Mm-hmm. Like TPAB was Parliament from cover to cover, yo.
From cover to
cover.
So
I mean, I'm pretty confident that Kendrick will be curating Black Panther soundtracks from here on out.
From here on out, yeah.
I'm pretty sure of that. Two, I'm pretty sure that he only has but so much mainstream energy that he can release before like getting the itch.
And what's crazy is like in. My thing is with Kendrick, I don't feel like I often see him having features on his albums with folks that are super mainstream and folks that are super commercial.
Yeah.
All this you see SZA.
Right.
That's a commercial name. Yeah. Right. Like that she traffics in commercial music.
Word.
Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
He's on the come up.
Yeah, but so they're gonna be on tour. The three of them are gonna be on tour.
Really?
They're supposed to be coming here.
Coming where?
To Connecticut. No.
Oh, I was gonna say
somewhere bigger than Toes. I don't know. but speaking of which. So there are a bunch of less familiar names on the project as well that I personally am not so familiar with,
mm-hmm.
but that should probably, you know, get a shout out as well.
J-Rock is one of them.
Word.
2 Chainz is on the right.
Yeah, 2 Chainz, no, 2 Chainz, that's my man.
Yeah.
First of all, 2 Chainz verse is crucial too.
Listen, we also have who we got on this. I'm gonna say this all wrong. I might not even say it.
What song is it?
Seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it Mozzie?
Yeah.
Mozzie,
South African artist.
Okay, and then it was S Java.
Yeah,
also a South African artist.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Probably. All right.
Potentially.
And then you know, right? We also have The Weeknd on the album. Word. Who gets a shout out?
It ain't really an album unless The Weeknd on the album, right? Like, first of all.
Solange and Beyonce all both knew that.
Right,
Weeknd on
clearly.
Okay, and so also I'm gonna play who we have. We have Lupe next.
Oh, word.
This is off of Losers. It's All Black Everything.
Word.
Sometimes you just gotta go. You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stay in Africa, we ain't never leave. So
tell us about this song.
So Lupe, All Black Everything. Okay. One, we gotta ask where Lupe is, because
yeah, Lupe, where are you?
Yeah, we
call into the station
call
now.
Call in right now if you call in now
for your
right
free tarot reading. Lupe, we need to find you.
Lupe's had a rough 7 years.
You know what? Yeah, the reception towards Lupe's words I never said.
Mm-hmm.
I think he felt some type of way about that, and he disappeared altogether.
Yeah.
Or like, was it things I never said?
I don't honestly. I haven't picked up on Lupe since.
Yeah.
Since Losers or Lasers.
Like it's just where are you? I want him to be back. I miss the old stuff.
I do.
I miss the old stuff when he was collabing with Kanye too.
Oh man,
like, dude, but I also miss Kanye era. From that time.
Yeah, I mean, that's another. First of all, Kanye, if you hear,
if you're listening,
just call
into station. Let us know where you at.
Right, for real.
not you of today, but you of yesterday.
Yeah. How old you? So truthfully, and me and Jen talk about this all the time. Jen, my wife,
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Who happens to also be my twin sister.
She may or may not be your twin sister. I don't know.
It's up for debate.
It is up for debate. We'll see what the jury says. No, but we were talking about Kanye. It's not to go too far off on a tangent, but like people like Kanye, man, I see so much of me in that dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, if you consider the trauma.
Today Kanye? Or?
So his trajectory, man. Just like, how he is where he is, man. Mm-hmm. It's like it's mm-hmm. clearly... He's clearly just being like squeezed into a really tight space, man.
Yeah.
And like Kanye, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, so much Kanye got so much criticism in the recent years for all of the crazy things that he was doing. But right. I think that we as consumers of media forget that Kanye is going through all the traumatic things that, you know, we as private citizens are going through, right? Like
in a super public way, too.
In a really public way, shooting after black shooting, right? And losing his mom.
Like, how do you lose your mom,
right?
While in the limelight,
you know while what I mean? So, like, in the limelight, how do you go through that?
How do you do
right? That? And then he had this interview with a Jimmy Fallon. I forget who he had an interview with. And he says, the interviewer sits him down and says, "What do you think how do you think your mother will feel about the way you're acting right now?"
Oh.
Right? Like,
what?
And Kanye has this thing. I mean, he talked a little bit about how he felt after that question. He was just like, how do I sit on live television and talk about my very real pain and my very real struggle? And we understand Kanye to be sort of the artist that puts all of that in his music.
Yeah.
And we haven't really been seeing that lately, which tells you a lot about how he's sort of retreating into himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And protecting himself.
And protecting himself. Yeah. We don't cut Kanye enough slack. So Kanye,
if you're listening, Kanye.
Yeah. And you know what? viewers and listeners, if you're listening and you feel like Kanye need a little bit of love, go ahead and comment.
Yeah, we love you, Kanye.
We love you, Kanye.
And in that same motion, we also love you, Lupe. Just come on home.
Yeah. Come on home.
Because all black everything was everything.
Yeah. So it definitely was.
It talks about like a, It's not quite a you know, the utopia concept. Really what it is, it's like it's the most radical of reimagination. Mm-hmm. And it's like an inverted history almost.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about just talking about what it would be like if not necessarily everything was black, but if everything that happened didn't. You know what I mean? So
for Wakanda.
So of course for Wakanda.
Okay. Like, okay. Yeah. I just
right. As always.
Also, I also have to say I love that. So here we go. I'm just gonna say this. But when I was growing up, when me and Paul were coming up, we were
I just picked up on that. This is awful. Oh, no.
We were in a gospel rap group.
right.
Called Holy Sanction. And this was the this was the sign. It was like Holy Sanction. There was no reason for this to be the
really
sign.
There really was no reason. Because it wasn't even quite a cross. It wasn't,
technically this was supposed to be this. Yeah, but then we just kind of did this.
And also we had the,
exactly. So we've been doing this for years.
Yeah, I mean, we're really ahead of the curve on this.
Yeah.
Like we've lived this.
They actually consulted us on the movie.
They did. Mm-hmm. I forgot to return.
Yeah.
Brian's,
the
instant message.
The email went to my junk box.
Right,
Christmas
folder. So, it's all good though, because it's for the culture. Like, y'all can have it.
I mean, y'all can have this. I think, you know, as long as everybody doing this, I'm cool with it.
Word.
Hashtag copyright me.
Please.
No, but I really did appreciate a lot of the, just sort of like the themes of the album, even though I didn't feel like it was Kendrick's best work.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like I mean, you know, I'm thinking about, like we said, To Pimp a Butterfly, which was like groundbreaking, and I'll say groundbreaking in a way that like even people who don't listen to rap are like, this is something I don't know what this is, but this is absolutely something,
right?
And Kendrick ended up being the Kanye that we needed when Kanye was gone. And I wanted that for Black Panther, but I think also, you know, Kendrick's a smart guy. He knew that he couldn't bring the album joints to the silver screen.
No, that's real. And also, he's had an album this year.
Yeah, well, that's also
2017 anyway.
That's also
within
thing.
The year.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess he was. And then I guess, and foremost, it was for the culture.
It was for the culture.
So Kendrick called all the homies. Yo, like, mm-hmm. let's make a dope project.
Exactly.
I want everyone to touch this project.
Yeah.
And they did.
And they did. And then he also kind of, in this, you know, philanthropic way that he does, he bought out movie theaters for kids in Compton to come and see the movie.
Come on, Kendrick.
This is the Kanye that we needed when Kanye is gone.
Right?
Like,
yeah, yo.
Kanye, we love you.
Yeah, we love
Kendrick,
you,
we love you right now.
For real. Nah, just like that.
You know, that's just how it goes. Any final thoughts about the album?
I will spin it because it is my black civic duty.
It is my black civic duty until the next election.
Until the next election, until the next Black Panther movie.
Until the next Black Panther movie. Or until we Wakanda the vote.
Right, exactly.
What kind of vote is this? It'll never get old.
Ever. Never got old.
This is the joke that never ended.
Never ended.
Yo, we just having fun on the air. Thank you, Paul, for coming on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And if you are tuning in, you've been listening to Work It Out with Mercy Quay on 103.5 FM. Just to kind of bring it back to the purpose of the show, this is a show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates them to move. And we learned a little bit about you and being a full-time musician and all the ins and outs that that comes with. And I know that you've been doing some work on SNL. SNL.
Okay. Okay. I was like trying to sound it out.
You should have been trying to spell it, not trying to sound it.
No, I was like, snool.
You've been doing some work on SNL, which is kind of,
yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. And also, when you, so first of all, SNL, every operation is just, it's huge.
Yeah.
Every shoot is huge. And it's like, there's so many moving parts and people. But when you get there, when you get on set, you realize that you're in the company of 100 creatives who are like on their own individual grind,
yeah.
yo,
mm-hmm.
like trying to create their own version of happiness, like,
yeah.
trying to cope with their own with their own you know financial situations and like and requirements from society, but so that's been a really cool experience, like that in itself, like even I mean from the music, but also just like even just like the extra work, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
is really rewarding in that.
And you being a musician from New Haven, like what does that feel like, kind of?
I guess I feel
seeing like the realization of your work on an SNL stage.
Well, what I'll say is that there are tons of other musicians from New Haven who are doing really cool stuff.
Oh yeah, of course.
I mean,
of course.
And like, I guess New Haven specifically is just so dense in its creativity and its potential, mm-hmm. that I'm just honored to be in the ranks of like earning
mm-hmm.
musicians. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who are you know. Able to take care of their families and you know contribute to the culture in that
mm-hmm.
way.
And I mean I ask all of my guests sort of this very like logistical thing, and we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, like how does it work if someone was to come up and be like, Paul, I want to be a full-time musician, how do I make it happen? What would you say?
You know what, so one day somebody will write a book and you can just like, it'll be like 10 steps to like full-time musicianship. But like no one's done that yet, so it's really
so everyone's just making it.
So everyone's just kind of just creating their own paths and creating their own lanes, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me specifically, I the route that I've taken is I acknowledge and I observe the voids and creativity as I experience it here,
mm-hmm.
and I try to create those things. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? And after you create those things, you try to make them make money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean? And if you do it in a different order of operations, does that work?
Nah, it just does not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can want to make money in the thing, but until it breathes, like,
yeah.
you don't know what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Liz Dillinger on the show back in January, where she shared her story about coming back from throat cancer, yeah. and losing control of like her voice altogether and coming back from that. And you know, a little bit of it, I guess, you know, her two cents about it was just like, you have to breathe into, you know, your artistry,
right.
and keep breathing until other people notice you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. Also, she's a mentor of mine.
Mm.
Like, just, she's everything. But yeah, that's a really good way to put it. It's like, you just kind of have to be who you are,
mm-hmm.
like in the rawest way. And it's kind of wait isn't a good word to use, but just kind of like be patient in
mm-hmm.
that process, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, and believe in your process.
Yeah.
So I mean, you do a show at a club or bar and five people come, you play the show anyways as well as you can. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And like,
yeah.
just kind of just
and like, hope that next time
and hope that each next of those time, five right, bring,
yeah.
right. bring each five one bring people.
One.
Each one bring
each
like,
one each bring one. One.
Exactly. Like
we okay, yeah, we're laughing because that's a church thing,
yeah, right? I was going to visitor Sunday.
All right, now
I've been
no.
dragged to many a visitor Sundays in my old day.
So on friends and family day,
right,
each one bring one. And so the last question that I ask each artist, and I want to leave some time. We have 4 minutes, and I'm about to ask something for you. I ask each of my guests to tell me a little bit about what gets you worked up.
What gets me worked up? Oh, you know what gets me worked up? In a bad way or good way or either.
I mean, you can tell me.
So here's what gets me worked up and gets me fired up. Young creatives, yo, who tap into astronomical levels of creativity early on. I think about my process and like just the stages of growth and when it happened, and then I. I'm introduced to folks like Sawa and Isaac
yeah.
who perform
yeah.
so far on a Saturday night.
Really?
Killing.
Really?
Killing.
Wow.
Young folks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and I'm so inspired and so encouraged by that, just to kind of watch that happen.
Yeah.
And then in that same motion, to think about the progression of creativity in that way, and how each generation is just like, you know, just growing and being better.
And sort of like evolving from the former generation adapting and bringing like their own little juice to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Making the juice something else completely. All right. And so now, all right, here we go.
Uh-oh.
All right. We got 5 minutes. I want you, I'm going to go out by asking you to sing. I didn't ask you in advance. I didn't ask you in advance, but give me a quick, I'm so in love.
I don't know if you knew this. Is actually, you can only have one singer per show. You sang already.
I did?
Show.
That's how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it works.
So how does So Far work?
Right, of course. Always be thinking.
give me like a two lyrics real quick.
I'm so in love with you.
Mm.
Whatever you want to do.
I'm coming in.
It's all right with me. That was nice, Mercy.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's not always nice.
No.
It's not always nice. I mean, you know I can't sing.
No, I mean, you're coming along.
I come along. This time next year,
you know, 16 years.
All right, y'all. We going out to the sounds of Ty Tribbett. Work it out. I can't thank you enough, Paul, for joining me on the show again. For the first time, and for closing out Black History Month for the Culture Month to the tunes of all the for the Culture Month. Yeah, to all the tunes that Black people need to. It's your civic duty to listen to the album, and absolutely, it's your civic duty to listen to all the songs that we brought out for you today. This has been Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the song about what people do for work, at work.
The EP.
Exactly. For work, at work, and what motivates you to move. Until next week, y'all, remember to find what your passion is and figure out how to work it out.
That's all I like to be. The lipstick. Okay. So interesting. I see you walking down the street with your head high. Is on